Heichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 72 in the series entitled Remaining Joyous Despite Your Inner Demons, Part 2. This class was recorded live at Heichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 23rd of Iyar, 5759.
Chapter 27. In this chapter, the Alter Rebbe addresses the possible sadness and grief that may result from man's inherent deficiencies as a human being and as a Jew, namely from the fact that he or she is often overtaken by unhealthy temptations, by negative thoughts, by coarse lusts, ugly cravings, and so on and so forth. Even if he is to refuse all of these urges, not allowing them to come to fruition in his life, nevertheless, their very existence in man's psyche, their constant arousal in man's mind and heart can easily plunge a human being into melancholy, even into despair, demonstrating to him that all of his efforts to attain some type of spiritual healthy equilibrium are in vain, are worthless, are valueless, are totally insignificant. So man may work, toil, strive, and really work on himself to become a better person, more truthful, more honest, more holy, more good, more spiritual, and so forth. But nevertheless, from time to time or constantly, he will be overtaken by negative urges, by terrible feelings, by ridiculous cravings. Certain addictions will never leave him. Certain negative patterns of behavior will constantly haunt him, and this can cause us sadness. So the Alter Rebbe said that such a feeling is a result of a totally erred perception of who we are and what we are supposed to make of ourselves. Grief of this nature is a direct consequence of a mistaken view of what constitutes man's mission and purpose in life. What is more, despair of this kind, Alter Rebbe said, is essentially a form of arrogance. It stems from man being unaware of his true position as a human being, and therefore he is overtaken by unrealistic, false expectations which do not suit his true condition. The sadness is a result of one's feeling, of one's notion that I am beyond the trials and tribulations that life presents to the ordinary human being, to the Beinoni in the Tanya's terminology. I am undeserving of this type of treatment. I am superior to it. If you were to realize who you are and what you are capable of becoming and what is expected of you to become, then man would not get depressed if he's anything else but that. The holy Reb Zusha of Anipale was a close colleague and friend of the Alter Rebbe, both studied at the feet of the great Maggid of Mizritch. He once remarked, in a famous saying, he said, after 120 years, when I come to the heavenly court, I do not fear that I will be asked the question, why have you not lived the life of Avraham Avinu? For that question, he said, I have an extraordinary answer. Why? Because I am not Avraham Avinu. Nor do I fear, if they present to me the question, Zusha, why haven't you been like Moshe Rabbeinu? For that one too, I have a great answer. Why? Because I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. You know what I fear, said Reb Zusha? When I come to the heavenly court, I will be asked, why were you not Zusha? Zusha? Why did you not live the life that Zusha was expected to live? So if the sadness is coming as a result from the failures, from misdoings, from negative behavior, which what I was not expected to engage in, which was not expected of me, that indeed justifies pain and remorse, which Dr. Rebbe discussed in chapter 26. But if the sadness is coming from the expectation that I am perfect, that the experience that Avraham Avinu had and that Moshe Rabbeinu had, I am also supposed to have. Someone who is becoming despaired and sad from that, says the Alter Rebbe, is either suffering from immaturity or from a tremendous, tremendous ego. And immaturity, in essence, is also an expression of some type of arrogance, although inadvertent arrogance. But furthermore, the Alter Rebbe said, it's not just that one should not harbor expectations within him, expectations that are totally irrelevant to his life. And one should accept the fact that he is who he is, he can't be anything different, and he should accept it with a sense of bitterness and bad taste. No. There is no need to be upset about your fate. You do not have to be anything else. There is no need to define your value, your worth, in terms of inner perfection. Because your purpose in life, says the Alter Rebbe, perhaps, is achieved through an ongoing battle with the Sitra Achira, which means with the unholy and unhealthy realities, to battle them, to suppress them, to subdue them. On the contrary, you may rejoice with your lot. You have to rejoice with your lot. For it's only the struggle that allows one to realize in his life the mitzvah of Leisa Suru Achere Levavchem Achere Enechem Ashratam Zeinem Achereyem, which means you should not follow your hearts and your eyes which pull you astray. And Alter Rebbe added that every single time the ordinary man says no to an urge, every time the Jew resists a temptation, a single temptation, every single time the human being brushes away a negative impulse, urge, craving, lust, he crushes the disease existing in life. He suppresses the klipa, the cover-up, the shell that obscures his true nature and the true nature of the universe. Every time the Jew says no to an unhealthy craving, he shatters the forces of negativity and darkness not only in his personal life, on the microcosmic level, but also in the cosmos as a whole. He crushes, he subdues, he suppresses the energy of the darkness and negativity existing in all of the worlds. So the ongoing impulses and ridiculous thoughts which we all struggle with day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, do not present a basis for despair and sadness. On the contrary, they present an opportunity to cherish, the opportunity to break the husk that paralyzes the beautiful human soul, that conceals the royal soul of the entire universe, which is the true divine spiritual essence of man and of the world. And in essence, we understand from this that the greater the temptation is, the more powerful the urge, the deeper the impulse, the more paralyzing it is. Apparently this should mamash drive you crazy. That after all your work, again and again, you have these thoughts that are so intense, so mighty. They come across as so real. Says that, according to this idea we understand, the deeper it is, the more you should celebrate. The more you should be thankful. For here you are presented with even a greater opportunity, with even a greater chance to subdue your ego and express your soul in such a powerful way. Here you were granted a far deeper opportunity to crush and break the deep power of the disease in the universe. A Jew once came to the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Alter Rebbe, the third leader of the Chabad dynasty, lamenting the fact that he lacks all desire and pleasure in the study of Torah. Vazal lichton, he said in Yiddish, Vazal lichton az echabnish kein cheshik to learn. What should I do? I do not possess any desire towards learning Torah, cried the Jew. So the Tzemach Tzedek replied, Vazal ichton az echabnish kein cheshik to learn. What should I do about the fact that I do have a desire to learn Torah? I once heard someone tell the story and interpreted thus, that what the Tzemach Tzedek was trying to tell him is, I cannot really understand what you're saying. I cannot relate to your problem. I cannot identify with your dilemma, because I simply don't have the problem. I love learning. I cherish Torah. He missed the whole point. The Tzemach Tzedek was saying the exact opposite idea. You say, my dear Yidula, that you lack all desire and pleasure in Torah study. That's fantastic. Indeed, you're a lucky man. What should I do about the fact that I do strongly desire to learn? The resistance that exists in you to learn grants you the ability of crushing your ego, of crushing the shell, of negating the husk, of obliterating the darkness that covers up the falseness of life and express your soul. It gives you the ability to say no to klipa, to say no to the husk of your psyche which is paralyzing your soul, and yes to the spiritual essence. So don't become sad. Cherish the opportunity that was given to you to exercise self-control in your life, to express your spirituality in such a powerful and real way. Cherish the opportunity that was given to you to bring to fore the true nobility of the human spirit, which is only possible in the midst of such resistance of forces that are threatening to compromise that nobility. And now let's continue and learn inside. V'lachein, daf lamadalet amid aleph, the line beginning with the words da yatim mikula v'chuli v'lachein al yipa v'lachein, therefore al yipa leiv adam alav, one should not feel depressed And one should not be very troubled at heart. Gamim yekain kol yamav bimlchamazu, even if he be engaged all his days in this conflict, with these thoughts, these urges, these cravings that will enter his mind and heart, says the Alter Rebbe, don't feel depressed, don't become saddened, don't become very troubled. Ki ulai lekach nivra, for perhaps this is what he was created for. V'zois avedase, and this is the service demanded of him. This is his task. Lekaf yelisitzachira tamit, to constantly subdue the sitzachira, not to subdue it once and pater anesik. That's it. The story is concluded. Tamit. This is your task, to constantly subdue and crush the force of Sitra Achira, which means the other side, again, the unholy realms that are antithetical to divinity, to goodness, and to spirituality. So the journey of his soul is not that of the smooth sailor in tranquil waters of godliness and spirituality. Rather, the journey that is expected of his soul is that of a struggling navigator in the midst of turbulent waves. His identity is not expected to express a harmony, a oneness, which comes from a sense of singularity and total unity. Rather, his life is destined to express a harmony which is born out of the pain of division and strife. So the Alter Rebbe says, do not get frustrated from the fact that you must struggle and fight the struggle. Und wiffel is ashir, asks the person. Perhaps this is your mission in life. Your mission consists of an ongoing battle against the hollow forces of Klipa, which threaten to cover up our inner integrity, our inner nobility. You might have been created to serve Hashem in the midst of a tension. Someone asked me last week why the Alter Rebbe says, V'layera levave ma'id. Ma'id. One should not feel very troubled from it. Apparently the message is that he should not be troubled at all, for this perhaps constitutes the purpose of his creation. But the answer is obvious. The Alter Rebbe is not saying that these thoughts are positive, that these urges are healthy. No. They are extremely negative and they are extremely unhealthy. The battle against them is a positive phenomenon. The war against them is good. Our struggle with them is the tremendous thing. So therefore, somewhat troubled by the occurrence of these thoughts, one must be. If not, he can become totally indifferent to them. He has to be in touch with the negativity that exists within them. If not, he can become indifferent, and he can come to entertain them and embrage them rather than wage war against them. But he ought not to fall into despair as a result of them, to become deeply troubled by them. He must remember that his struggle against these negative urges is not in vain, is not worthless, is not insignificant. It serves a tremendously positive purpose. And Alter Rebbe continues, Valze Amariv. Concerning this, Eiv said, Job said, Barasa Rishayim, you have created Rishayim, wicked men. The Gemara in Baba Basra of Tezayin Amir Aleph says, Amar Rav Rav said, Bikesh Eiv lifted his kol elam kulim in adin. Eiv attempted to exempt the entire world from judgment. Eiv, one of the most tragic figures in the whole of Tanakh, a man who suffered unspeakable pain and anguish, attempts in the aftermath of his horrendous suffering, to convey the philosophy of determinism and thus exempt the entire world from judgment. Amar lefanav, zogt de Gemara, Eiv said to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe. Barasa shayr parseis of zdukais, barasa chamer parseis of klutais. You have created an ox with cloven hooves, you have created a donkey with unsplit hooves. Barasa gan eden, barasa gehenim, you created paradise, you created purgatory. Barasa tzadikim, barasa rishayim, you created righteous men, you created wicked men. So as Rashi writes, Eiv was saying, Anusin hein achaitin. Sinners are coerced to sin. They have no choice in the matter. You have created them that way. Just as we're not going to say that an ox is more righteous than a donkey because it has the criteria, the signs of a kosher animal. Split hoofs. The shayr is no more holy than a donkey and doesn't deserve reward for the fact that it has split hooves. Hashem created it that way. Says he, if you created tzaddikim and you created rishayim. So his friends, his camarades, whom Eiv was discussing the trials and tribulations that he has experienced, responded to him and said, Bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yetzahara, Bara Leteira Tavlin. True, Hashem created a Yetzahara. But he also created Torah as an antidote to the negative inclination to the Yetzirah. So Rashi says, Hilchach lav anusininu sharei yechelu mahatzel atzma. Therefore they are not coerced, notwithstanding the fact that they have an evil inclination, because they can redeem themselves, they can save themselves through the Torah. So in the first chapter of Tanya, in the opening of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe asked this question, how can Eiv say that man's behavior is preordained from above, when everybody knows what the Gemara says in Nida Daf Tazayin, Amid Beis, that Hashem decrees whether a child should be wise or foolish, strong or weak, poor or rich, and so on and so forth. But concerning the nature of his moral life, if he should be a tzaddik or a rasha, virtuous or wicked, that is absolutely not determined and is left to one's choice. Tzadik v'rasha like Amar. Indeed, this serves as the pillar of Yiddishkeit. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva defines it as Amud HaTorah v'HaMitzvah, the fact that man ultimately is a master of his own destiny as far as morality is concerned. So the meaning of the words Barasa Tzadikim, the Alter Rebbe already explained in chapter 14. And in essence, the explanation is based on the Tanya's deeper definition of the terms Tzadik, Beinoni, and Rasha. In brief, a Tzadik, the Alter Rebbe explained in earlier chapters, is the man who his divine essence and his spiritual soul pervades his entire space. His inner space as well as his outer space. His inner psyche and character. As well as his external behavior. His thought, his speech, his action are all pervaded by the godly soul within the person. A rasha is the term used for man whose space has been pervaded, tainted and blemished by the egotistical shell, by the negative inclination, by the animalistic consciousness. Man is dichotomized between the two consciousnesses, the inner spiritual divine essence, and the outer external animalistic shell. The tzaddik space is pervaded by the inner eye. The rasha space is pervaded by the external eye. His external false eye has become the predominant driving force in his life, covering over, obscuring his true inner sacred eye. So both his inner and outer space, his inner psyche and consciousness, as well as his actual behavior, have become dominated and controlled by his beastly eye rather than by his divine eye. What is the Beinoni? Who is the Beinoni from the Tanya's perspective? It's not a compromise between the two above-mentioned personalities. It's a combination of them. He's a combination of them both. His inner space is identical to the Rasha. His outer space is identical to the Tzaddik. His inner space, his internal character, is identical to that of the Rasha, consisting of the good-evil dichotomy. That is the original natural state of every human being, experiencing within his consciousness a conflict between beautiful, holy, transcendental yearnings and desires and ugly, unholy, earthly, mundane impulses and urges. But his outer space, his behavior, is flawless as the tzaddik. In the Beinoni's inner life, both eyes of our identity, a tale of two souls, both eyes, the self-centered eye and the divine eye, are fully expressed. In the outer life of the Beinoni, only one eye is expressed. He only allows the divine eye to be projected and expressed. According to the Alter Rebbe, in the earlier chapters, a tzaddik is a type of a Jewish Superman. Beyond the reach of the ordinary man. The Rasha, in essence, is a weak man. You know, in the Tanya's definition of a Rasha, he's not so much wicked as he is weak. The Beinoni, the central character of the Tanya, is the possible man. The state that every single Jew can reach. The man for whom the perfection of the tzaddik is unattainable, but who nonetheless refuses to succumb to the self-centered desires of his animal soul and never allows them to be expressed in his thought, speech, or action. So in Perek Yudalit in chapter 14, Alter Rebbe explained the words of Iyei Barasa Tzaddikim, you have created tzaddikim, to mean that Hashem has created specific souls and endowed them with the potential to become tzaddikim. He granted them the power that if they work and toil, they can reach a state of absolute harmony in their lives, ridding themselves totally from any impact stemming from the animal eye in man. And this ability is indeed a gift from above. Barasa tzaddikim. Here now in Perek Chof Zayin, the Alter Rebbe returns and explains the second part of Iyev's statement and complaint. Barasa Rishayim, you have created Rishayim. So this is what the Alter Rebbe is saying. V'yalzeh amar Iyev, it's on this issue concerning this Iyev set. Barasa Rishayim. You have created Rishayim. V'loy sheyiyu Rishayim be'emes chas v'shalom. Iyev doesn't mean that they were created to actually be Rishayim, heaven forbid. Hashem creates a person in a fashion where he is destined absolutely to be a Rasha in his day-to-day behavior. Ela sheyagia aleya kemaisa harishayim b'machshavtim v'irurim b'lvat. Rather, that this should occur to them in their thoughts and musings alone, that which occurs to the Rasha. Those evil thoughts that pervade this inner space of the Rasha exist also in the life of the Beinoni. Oh, exist also in the life of these individuals concerning whom Iyev says, Barasa Rishayim. Hashem creates human beings as Rishayim, meaning that their inner space is that of the Rasha, dichotomized between a heavenly transcendental consciousness and a self-centered, egotistical, animalistic consciousness. And the intention in this creation is Vehein Yiyu Nilchamim Tamid and they shall eternally wage war to avert their minds from them, in order to subjugate the other side, the unholy realms, yet they will never be able to annihilate the Sitra Acher and their souls completely, for this is accomplished by the Tzadikim. Barasa Tzadikim, who were given that unique gift that as a result of their effort, they can indeed rid themselves from the animalistic perception. They could transform their animal soul and make it a total ally and partner to the divine soul, where there is total spirituality pervading not only their outer space, but also their inner space. Concerning the ordinary man, the average individual, Eif says, Barasa Rishayim, Hashem created him in that way. That decades can go by, a decade after a decade after a decade, and notwithstanding his growth, and his true growth, in goodness, and in kindness, and in spirituality, and in holiness, and in sacredness, nevertheless, there will still be a struggle. His terminology that he uses, Vehem Yu Nilchamim Tamid, Baras Rishayim, Hashem created us in that way, that we experience the dichotomy, we experience the struggle that comes as a result of the dichotomy. On one hand, we can experience very deep spiritual values and morals and truths and so forth, and on the other hand, the very same human being, the very same day, if not the very same hour, and so on and so forth, can experience extremely ridiculous thoughts, urges, lusts, can as much work as he does still be haunted by addictions, by negative patterns of behavior, and so on and so forth. Zagdal Terebe Barasa Rishayim, this is what he is saying. Lest the Beinoni think that his never-ending struggle with the evil in him, with addictions, with negative habits, with unhealthy behavior, his constant struggles with flaws, deficiencies, and all types of dark and gloomy instincts, lest he think that this is any less significant than the smooth and clear path of the unwavering tzaddik, he may think, true, this is my lot, this is my fate, this is my soul. But obviously it doesn't have real significance. Zagdal Terebbe, no. Ushnei minei nachas ruach lefonav yizbarach lemayla. There are two kinds of nachas ruach, of divine pleasure. Achas, one nachas ruach, one pleasure, stems mi bitul ha-sitra achira legamri, from the complete annihilation of the sitra achira, v'yishabchem imiriru lemisko mechashaych lenehera, and from the conversion and transformation of bitter to sweet and of darkness to light, al yidei ha-tzadikim, which is accomplished by the tzadikim. Vashenis, and the second form of divine pleasure stems from Kadiskafya Sitra Achir, when the Sitra Achir is subdued, Ba'oida Betakvo Gvurasa, while it is still at its strongest and most powerful state, Umagbiya Atzma Kineshir, when it's soaring like an eagle, Umisham, and from there, from this height, Mayrida Hashem, Hashem topples it, Besarusa Delatata, in response to the human initiative, in response to the human endeavor of subduing the Sitra Achira, which is Ayidea Beinanim, which this is accomplished through the Beinanim. So each of the aforementioned categories, those who are in the people who we define as the tzaddikim, barasa tzaddikim, and those that barasa rishayim, they were created as far as the inner space as rishayim, both bring about one of these two kinds of divine gratification. So there are the souls who have indeed descended to this world in order to transform themselves, in order to metamorphosize themselves. And then there are the souls which have descended into this world in order to battle, to fight. So there is a pleasure that Hashem receives from the tzaddik who transcends sitrach. But then there is the pleasure he receives from the ordinary man who battles with the sitrach and subdues it. The tzaddik lifts himself up to a reality where the sitra achira does not exist in his life. It does not create any sensation to him. As the Alter Rebbe described in chapter 10, a tzaddik is repulsed by something which is disconnected from godliness and spirituality, from holiness. A tzaddik doesn't only not perform an avera transgression. An avera is abhorrent from his perspective. It's like we gave then an example. You'll walk in the street and you'll see someone eating glass. By a tzaddik, watching someone do an avera is like you gazing at someone eating glass. It totally does not create any sensation in his experience because his entire eye has been pervaded by his divine soul, by his spiritual essence. So the tzaddik lifts himself up to a reality where sitra achra doesn't exist in his life, in his consciousness. He may be aware about it, but he does not experience it.